We getting this thing together, y'all. We going to get it together. God is good this morning. We do thank God this morning for what he's doing. We thank him for coming down this morning to meet with us in song and worship this morning, testimony service. Again, I like to say I thank God for what he's doing for the people of God, to hear all what God is doing, you know, to see the smiles and see how people are really trusting in God. That is what makes me happy, to see people believing and going on and ready to go on with God, ready to receive what God is telling them what to do, how to do it. That's a blessing to me. It encourages me. It lets me know that sometimes when you're out there and you think you just believing all by yourself, like, Lord, where are all of the other believers? And when you hear all these great testimonies, it encourages me. I don't know about nobody else. It calls me to go a little step further. It does. It does. So we do thank God this morning for the man of God, for what he's done on Friday and Saturday night. The services, we know they are different. They are different, but if you're getting your needs met, and that's all that matters. You know, it don't matter how the message comes. It can come by airway, by train, on foot, plane. It don't matter. But long as you're on the receiving end and getting your blessing, that's all that matters. So let us put our hands together. Once again, let's stand to our feet and thank God for the great man of God that he's been a blessing to our souls this week. He and his wife, we thank God for you. A prophet, Ron Turner from Roanoke, Virginia. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful. Oh, I thought you was pointing at the cross and he's supposed to nail me to it. I said, it ain't going to work. Oh, got a chair. Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. After 5 minutes, I go to sleep, so I better wait for about 30 minutes before I activate that chair. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, there are so many different ways to go with this service right now. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. So many different ways to go. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh.
I'm sorry. I'm going to help him out. I'm going to help him out. You may be seated. I have something that I want to share with you all. First, I thank God for this wonderful weekend. It's been just glorious. I have been encouraged and blessed. And to see you all blessed and hear these testimonies, it's just so exciting. It thrills me. I have something I wanted to say. I guess we all have times that we go through things and we don't quite understand why we're going through them. And sometimes it can be very lonely. And I know I don't want to bring this down, okay, because it ends pretty good. But you know, sometimes you just feel, to face reality, everything just isn't up here all the time. And I was going through that time, I guess 12 and 13, and then the end of 13, I was really going through something. And physical and just also lonely for God. And I couldn't get what I wanted from God. I wanted something, but I just... And sometimes you think, God, do you hear me? Do you know where I am? And I remember during one of these times when I was feeling very bad, and I said, God, will you let somebody call me? Just speak to somebody to call me. And Brother Flippo called, and then Sister Davis called, Pastor Davis called. And January, I was feeling still this way, not coming up to where I wanted to be with God. And a phone call came, and it was from a minister that we had many wonderful times through the years. He was a foreign missions director, very close friends. My husband and I traveled a lot with him overseas, and we hadn't heard from them in years. It's been a long, long time. And he called, and I heard my husband say, oh, Brother Sism, it's good to hear from you. And then he said, oh my God, that's Brother Sism, that's awesome. And I'm thinking, what is Brother Sism you know, saying. So he called me in the living room, and he said, I want you to hear this. And Brother Sism had a dream, and he was in a large service, and Brother Turner was supposed to be speaking. And he said, Brother Turner, then he spoke to me. He told him the dream. Then he told me, he said, Sister Turner, he said, the place, I don't know when I've ever been in a service where the Holy Ghost and the power of God was so great and you were singing. I didn't know you were singing. And you were singing, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, O Lord, close to thee, all along life's journey, pathway, however it goes, journey, I want to be close to thee. And when he told me that, I just felt like God put his arms around me at that time. And he loved me like I have never experienced before, because you don't know what it feels like unless you've been here and you climbed your way up, and all at once that blessing is there. And it was about a little bit before January, we were at our daughter's in South Carolina. And I was just, they were in the, Kim and Brother Turner were out talking. And I was just wandering through the bedroom and just not really thinking so much about God, but still feeling I want more. And all at once, the power of prayer hit me. Like I hadn't experienced in a long, long time. And I just gave into it. And, of course, she lives in an apartment, and I heard her say, Mom, be a little quiet. It was just the travail. The travail was just beyond something I hadn't felt in years. And the most beautiful thing at the end, whenever I was just worshiping him, there was the most beautiful package, all wrapped up. And he said, the gift is yours, but not now. And two angels, the most beautiful angels, stood by that gift. And I know it was secured. And I couldn't thank him enough for that. I just could not thank him enough for that experience. And so during the time, this was back in the fall of last year, and during that time I would visit that spot in my spirit, and I would check to see, and the angels were there, and I told them, don't leave until the time comes. I don't want anything to intercept my gift. Don't let anybody, anything intercept, because the devil can do that. And I said, guard these angels, guard that nothing happens to that gift. March the 21st, I was again in this heavy, woke up, it was about 6 o'clock, and this, I came out of the sleep with this same heavy travail. I stayed in that and stayed in that and stayed in that, and it just felt better along with the travail. I knew victory was there. I knew his victory was there. And at the end of that closing worship, he said, today is the gift. You get your gift today. Oh my God, have mercy. I didn't know what in the world. So I said, Ron, today is the day. The gift is here. It's going to happen today. Kim called early and said, Dad, I feel a gift is going to be given today. Okay, then a minister friend called and said, I just feel there's a gift, and I want to tell you that God's going to give a gift. Oh my goodness. About that time, I'm about to explode. And I'll tell you what, you know, if it had been $1 million, you know, that would have been just material things. Whatever happened that day, our house was just surrounded, filled with the presence of the Lord. You know, angels. Oh, I can't even tell you how awesome that day was. And whatever took place in the heavens, and I know we will know someday, but it was the most awesome thing. Now, I just want to encourage you. You were given a gift last night, because it just doesn't happen this week. It may be a few months, You got your gift. It will come to you. It is yours, and He's not going to take it away. But it's secure. It's surrounded by His angels, and He's all protected. But your gift was given to you, and you will receive your gift. God bless you. It's so wonderful to be with y'all. Love you so much.
Thank you, Sister Turner. Hallelujah. It's certainly good to be here. I want you to know that. And we understand the urgency of the hour. We got dinner in the other room and all that stuff. But you know what? I've eaten warm-ups before. So if it doesn't get eaten until midnight or after, we're all right. Hallelujah. I just want you to know that Sister Turner really experienced just what she said. It happened. And it was such an awesome, awesome thing. And we appreciate it so much that she... Now, I might need to turn that thing that away some. I'm hissing in it, sounds like. Are y'all hearing that, or is it just me? Might be my hearing aid. I don't know. Amen. All right, now. I'm loaded, I promise you. I mean that. That testimony of what God did last night for that skin rash. Amen. And we're going to pray again. Sister praying, requesting prayer for her children that they experienced that same healing. Amen. And we're just, it's here. Amen. It's in the atmosphere. I'm going to liken it to this. We'll preach after a while maybe. But remember when Jesus came out of the tomb, Mary come rushing up to Him to embrace Him. Who wouldn't have? He stopped her. Said, Mary, you can't touch me. If you do, you're going to pollute everything that I've done. I've got to take this body and this blood, and I've got to present it into the eternal Spirit of the Father. And once it is in the eternal Spirit of the Father and flowing everywhere, then you can touch me. I'm telling you, what happened last night was manifested in the eternal Spirit of the Father. And wherever you go, congregation, whoever you pray for, just believe. And those skin problems will be healed. It is a gift to you last night from God Almighty. And it goes on to the third and the fourth generation. He never takes a gift back. Never takes one back. And when He released it last night, and I know. See, I just played dumb. And I knew that young lady that was testifying here, who escaped out of here before I got the microphone, when she was standing right here, I knew when I looked in her eyes. There she is, back behind that bush. Come on out, Eve. I knew that it was not settled in her spirit. No, she was standing right there. I'm working it. I said, God, it ain't going to be Turner because somebody's going to have to eat whatever they say. And I'd rather be you dining on this instead of me. And the Lord spoke to me to tell her that determination, that fight. You got to fight. Now, she fought. She secured it. And that belongs to everybody. Everybody. When they looked at little David, there were some of them that had all kinds of statements about him. But little David had a determination. I'm taking this rascal out. I want you to know I am proud. I am proud of you going home and fighting this thing and conquering it. You didn't go conquer it just for you. But anybody you lay your hands on with faith believing, they're going to have the same healing. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for coming down here. Thank you for coming. Amen. We're going to give God the praise for that. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the pastor didn't know it. I don't take up my own offerings. Occasionally I will help a church out, but just encourage folks to give. And last night the pastor stayed after me, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do it. Now, this is the only way I know to do it. That's in the Holy Ghost. I was in New Jersey last week. I was literally praying for folks. God was, miracles, things were happening. There must have been 150, 200 people there. And they were all gathered around, so I was praying for them. I don't know how it happened. I do not know how the pastor told them. But all of a sudden, while I'm laying hands on folks, people started coming up and putting money in my suit coat pocket. They was opening this. I had a vest on. I didn't go prepared for that New Jersey weather. And so one of the pastors there put his jacket on me and the vest. And I'm thinking, you know, this doesn't match me. It was corduroy type thing, you know. And he told the church later, he said, you know, I thought that was a battery. And he said, I this jacket was $750. I only paid $79 for it, but I'm giving it to this Pastor Turner. And he said, the vest he's got on, he said, it was $300-something. I'm thinking, my Lord, they dressed me up pretty good. And it was a corduroy vest and had all these lined up pockets. I looked like a riverboat gambler, man, I tell you what. And he said, I'm giving that to him, but I only paid $39 for it. So I was thinking, well, the original price was pretty impressive, but now I'm finding out he got it at a used clothes store. I didn't. I'm just jerking you around. And they started putting all this money in my pockets and all this stuff, and I kept trying to get the pastor's attention and tell him, well, you know, don't do this. I'm not. I can't handle this. Well, I didn't tell my wife. He came up to me after church, and he said, I want you to start doing this for my own. The Holy Ghost spoke to me that people are being denied blessings because of your... He called it humility, but he had some other, you know, words to it. And I said, you know, I'm just not that type. But anyway, I'm sitting here this morning. I'm wrestling with what the pastor asked me to do because it's out of my jurisdiction. And I'm sitting here, and I've got some heavy stuff to tell you. I promise you that. And God spoke to me, and he said, you remember, I told you the story of when I was taking up an $8,000 offering because I had written the checks. The church needed the money. We didn't have it. We were broke, beyond broke. And one of the men came up who had been sleeping on mattresses on the floor in a home that HUD would have burnt down. And he was trying to get his business going and all of this stuff. And I didn't know. I knew that they were going through it. I knew. I mean, I'd been praying for him. He walked up there with a check in his hand, and I started crying. I said, I don't want your money. He said, no, you got to take it. Well, I started crying. I said, man, I'm talking to some other folks. He said, no. He handed me a check. It was made out for $8,000. And I begged him. Even in the office after church, I begged him to take it back. He said, no. He said, I'm going to learn how to trust God. And so I knew that he told me the next, by Tuesday was, he came to the office and said, you know, I got a contract painting with a big contract firm in town, commercial, big folks. And he said, you know that money I gave Sunday night? I said, yes. He said, I got a contract with a company. I had put the contract in on Monday. They called me. I think it might have been on Thursday they called him. And in 3 weeks, he cleared $60,000. So I called him and said, what corner are you going to be standing on when you get that paycheck? So a few weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I heard the rest of the story. That's all I knew. That's all I knew. And so he invited us out to dinner. And so we went to Panera Bread, sat and talked. Hadn't talked about stuff like, in fact, I hadn't talked to him in probably 3 or 4 years. And he called me. And he pastors his own church. And he called me. We sat down and got to talking. He said, you remember that check that you didn't want to take from me? I said, oh, yes. And, of course, I just think about it and go to crying. And I said, yes, I remember. You had those little kids and all this stuff. He said, I never did tell you the rest of that story. And I said, no, I thought that was all of it. He said, oh, no, that wasn't all of it. He said, you see, in the middle of that, we was working like 10 days into the job, and it's going to be a while before it's finished. He said, I'm saying, God, I don't have any money. I'm broke. I gave it all. I don't even have money to buy the paint. I don't have money for anything. He said, I got a call from another contracting company. And he said, are you able to just, whatever you're doing, drop it right now and come over here and help us do this paint job? And he said, well, sure, I can. Be happy to. He said, so I took off over there and never quoted the job at all. I just did it. And when it was finished, they said, listen, we put in our budget, we'll give you $20,000 for doing this job. He said, it only took me 3 days. And he said, I went back over on the other job and was working on that. And he said, they called me in about the second week. And they said, they came on the job and they said, listen, part of this building, we were not for sure what was going to be done with it, but it's now under our contract, and we need a quick paint job over there. He said, could you do that? And he said, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, tell them that if they will send their men in there to clean out all of the stuff, take it all out, and then tape the windows, cover the floors, and do all the prep work, put the first coat on, spray it on. He said, I'll bring my men in and put the final coat on for $10,000. They said, you got a deal. He said, it took us 3 hours. 3 hours. And my wife excused herself to the restroom, and he started telling me some other things. I've never shared it with her. He said, I'm fixing to do something for y'all because I know it's your seed ground, fertile soil, a whole bit. So she came back. Now, this is kind of personal, but this is strictly in-house. Is that fair enough? You had been praying for us for some time. The last 3 years, everything turned upside down. You can't even begin to believe how bad it turned upside down. We prayed 3 to 5, 6 hours every day, day and night, believing God, believing God. I said, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. But I never could worry. You know that panicking where you just want to jump out in front of a freight train, especially if they're going backward. And just couldn't deal with it, couldn't deal with it. My wife was going through it. We were going through it, I promise you. I'd preach in churches, see miracles and things take place. But when it came to us as a subject matter, it's like God was listening, but he, oh, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to take care of that. Our home was just about repossessed. I mean, it was on the auction block. They notified us. We couldn't make the payment. We didn't know where it's coming from. Do you know that company, I'd call them and say, I don't have a dime. I'm going to do it. They said, well, Mr. And I said to them, I said, I know. Y'all have repossessed so many homes, you don't need another one. And they said, you're right. We really don't want your home. We just holding this thing. And it went into 6 months. It went into 9 months. I was racking up $20,000 and $30,000 behind in payments. It went into 1 year. They'd call and they say, well, how's it going? I said, I don't have a dime. I said, but when I get it, I'm gonna pay this off. I'm gonna do it. I wouldn't hear any more from them. Now you tell me, do banks do that? A year? We went over a year, sitting at that table that night. Same man that gave me that car out there. Remember me telling you about it? When he gave me that old car that had been rebuilt and I saw the title on it, God said to me, I wouldn't have given you that. You need to get rid of it. I gave it away. 2 weeks after I had it, this same man called me, said, how's that car running? I said, God told me to give it away. It had been junked and then rebuilt, whatever, salvaged. And I said, God told me to give it away. He'd never give it to me. He started crying. He's the one that took me to a dealership, bought that car out there, $27,000. He gave them $7,000 cash and wrote a check for the rest of it. Sat there weeping and crying. And he said, I'll never do that again. He saw in the paper that my home was being repossessed. But there's something bigger to it that I can't tell. And called us to go out to eat. He said, I'm going to pay your home off. I said, you can't pay my home off. I owe $200,000 on it and more because they've added all this interest and everything. I said, you can't do that. He said, don't tell me what I can do with my money. I said, you're going to pay my home off. He said, yes, I am. He said, you put it on the market and didn't sell it, did you? I said, no, I had it on the market twice and couldn't sell it. And I said, I knew it wasn't the will of God for me to sell it. I knew that, but I didn't have any choice. Now, I'm just telling you, I'm not a superhuman. We're human just like you are. If God answers my prayer, He answers your prayer. He sat there and he said, I've got an attorney already working on this. He said, we're going to close in a week. I said, we are. He said, oh yeah. And he said, you see, all of this money's not mine. I said, it isn't. He said, I've got two other people that believe in you. One of them's putting up $35,000. He said, I've got someone else that's putting up, I forgot how much it was. And he said, the three of us have agreed that we're going to pay your home off. And he looked at me. He was telling us all of this, and she went to the restroom. And he leaned over and looked at me. He said, how are you processing this? I said, I'm blown. He said, you think that there's something behind all of this? I said, I don't know what to think. He said, look at me. Every time I've given to you, I've been blessed. He said, this money's going to come back to me many times over. And he said, those that are investing with me, I'm teaching them something. And she came back about that time, and he went back into that business posture. What I'm telling you is this. God took care of it. I'm sitting there. And I'm struggling. I said, God, I can't take this offering. He said, yes, you can. Because I'm taking this church to another dimension. And I started weeping and crying. You thought I was talking to God about the choir singing and all the specials going on and the testimonies. I've been sitting over struggling and wrestling. Now we're going to go to another level. You ready for it? God told me this. He said, I've got $8,000 sitting here today. I said, God, I can't take up. He said, oh, no. He said, I've got one person that can write a check for $5,000, and I can give it back to him multiple times over. I said, then this offering's not going to be for me. He said, oh, no. This offering's not about you, but it's for you. He said, this offering is about this church going to another dimension. Now, that's all I'm going to say. You process it, and whatever you want to do, I'll see you at the close of the service. But God's going to do it. You say, where's it going to come from? I have no idea. I'm just giving you the figures that God told me, and that's all I'm doing. Just like I've done in my church for years and years and years. I've made statements. I had a family in my church that they were blessed, but they were in a difficult situation. They made a contribution of $10,000 to the church. Within a couple of months, their home sold, and they cleared $200,000. Clear. I could tell you stories after stories after stories of folks that have sown into our ministry. My wife can verify it. And every time, they have been blessed. But that's not who I am. I can't do that because I don't want to be misread. You know what I mean? But this pastor told me in New Jersey, he said, everywhere you go, he said, I'm telling you, you're stealing from the people blessings. I said, I'm not stealing from anybody. I don't take up an offering. He said, that's where you're stealing it. He said, if you'd let them sow into your ministry. This church is sowing into my ministry. every month that's sowing into my ministry. And we'd have never made it had it not been for the monies, the sowing of the seed into our ministry. It gave us faith to believe. And when this man called me, it's just happened 3 weeks ago, March the 21st.
Amen.
What happened on March the 21st? See, I thought she was going to tell that while ago, but she didn't. It was on that same day that God spoke to her and said, "The package that I promised you is arriving today." My daughter called and said, "Mom, I don't know what's going on, but there is a gift, a package that's arriving today." It was that day that that man called us, and we went to Panera Bread and sat down, and he said, and do you know what else he did? He called my youngest daughter and said, "God told me to wash your feet." And for an hour and a half on the telephone, he washed my youngest daughter's feet, weeping and crying and praying blessings upon her. Now you look at me. The only reason I'm doing this is because if I'm blessed, I want you to be blessed. And if this is God's way of doing it, then I pray God makes millionaires out of every one of you. And you build me a house right over here. And those chicken and dumplings and cornbread and pinto beans. Daddy, the only fight we'll probably ever get into is that if there's only one bean left in that pot, we have to decide who gets it. Or one egg. If those chickens quit laying, we're going to eat them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I told Sister Flippo yesterday, I said, I'm thinking about getting that 8 dozen. I'm thinking about going out and getting all those eggs out of the nest. That was yesterday. And then doing it again Sunday morning. And he's going to go out there looking for them. And he's going to think these chickens have quit laying. And we'll eat them Sunday afternoon. Hallelujah. But I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Amen. Now, I'm just saying this. I sincerely, and all jokes aside, don't miss this opportunity. I don't care how much you give. I'm just telling you, don't miss this opportunity. There's something bigger here. Amen. And you can ask my wife. Monies I make goes back into the ministry. I've walked by people. And handed them $5,000. She don't know anything about it. I've given away tens of thousands of dollars that she don't know anything about. I've taken our bank account and our monies down and what was hid at the house and given it away. You say, why? I told you one time. Because Paul said that Levi paid tithes in the loins of Abraham. It was 400 years before Levi was born. Abraham was paying tithes, covering his children, his grandchildren, to the fourth generation. I've got them covered. I've got promises that God has given me. You say, but Jesus is coming tomorrow. Oh, no. No. He can't be coming tomorrow because he's already covered my children, my great-grandchildren. We're covered for the next 300 years. If I live to be 95, my daughter lives to be another 95, and my grandchildren, you understand? You say, but Jesus is coming. Uh-uh. He wouldn't take my money and offer me blessings on my grandchildren if he was coming tonight. I'm sorry. Now you have to put that in the pipe and smoke it. And smoke it. Amen. Hallelujah. Unless my grandchildren are the ones who stoke hell to burn Lucifer. Amen. I've got something for you. I promise you. A message. My God, Holy Ghost, Shelly Pratehunda. If you right now, forget me, submit to that Holy Ghost moving through here. Kali Boni Asuli Kalita. Hale Mandiato. Kalebayeto Sikitali Talamonia. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Right here. Now, I'm not pointing at anyone, but right here, there's a serpent, like a boa constrictor, that's been after somebody. You've been fighting the devil. You've been fighting the devil. If you've got something you've been fighting, I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you want to come down here, God's going to give you power to stomp the head of that boa constrictor. We're going to take him out right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. If you don't want to come, I'm going to stomp him for you. But is this something? Amen. Hallelujah. I've got it identified, but we're not going to do nothing, but we're going to kill it right now. Hallelujah. I've got a bad knee, but I've got one good one. Amen. Everybody, we're going to stand in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, we take spiritual authority and dominion over this boa constrictor that is trying to wrap itself around one of your children. And every time they exhale, it tightens it down. I'm calling for blessings upon them. I curse you, Satan. You cannot take their health. You cannot engage in them with depression. You cannot smother them. Kolibasina, in Jesus' name be released. In Jesus' name, we release you. I release you in the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and your family. And your family. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Kale taliasina. Proteo kaleboni ekuniasina. Hallelujah. I'm going to make it a little more personal. Somebody having breathing problems? Your breath is restricted. Hallelujah. Somebody having breathing. It's right back over there. I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Somebody. I just saw your lungs. Amen. I just saw your lungs. And there's a restriction. Restriction. Are we going back to allergies again? Are we talking about allergies? Respiratory problem? I'm trying to find it. Amen. We're going to put our prayer right there in Jesus' name. Father, heal whatever the respiratory problem is. Satan, we curse you. Release their breathing, their lungs, their respiratory system. Be thou healed. Hallelujah. He's going. You feel it? He's going. In Jesus' name, heal the children. Heal the children. Heal the husbands. Whoever it is associated right now, heal them right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to get a testimony. You feel it? It broke, didn't it? It broke. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. I'm not going to preach long, but I am going. You may be seated. I've got something definitely. Now, I may sit down and take advantage of this chair here in a minute. I'm going to turn to the 21st chapter of Luke. And we're going to focus on verse 15. But I'm going to go back up to verse 10. This is Jesus speaking to them about the fall of Jerusalem. He said, "Then said he unto them, Nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands upon you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. He said, settle it, therefore, in your hearts, so that you won't be meditating on what you've got to say. Verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And I'm going to stop. My subject is very simple, call to leadership. Call to leadership. Last night we saw what God did in the services and how God anointed and how God spoke and how God directed and how God ministered. And out of all of it, we were developing leadership. That's what was taking place. God was opening the five gifts of gifts of the Spirit, and He was appointing people to different things. And so this morning when I was praying and talking to God, and last night, God began to deal with me, and He took me to Daniel, the sixth chapter. I have not been in the book of Daniel and Isaiah in years. I literally had to reread the stories and figure out what God is saying to me. And so as I turned over to Daniel, the sixth chapter, he began to talk to me that I am giving leadership, developing leadership for the day of conflict. Developing leadership. And so as I began to read this, he said, I am appointing my people in this hour to a difficult task. I am appointing them to maintain during a difficult task and difficult assignment. Now, that doesn't make much sense, but we'll deal with it in a minute. These are just notes I jotted down. And so as I turned over there to the book of Daniel, chapter 6, I think I can probably find it again, chapter 6. This is the story of Daniel being put into the lion's den. But as I read it, I said, God, we have to back up. We have to back up a couple of chapters. And I'm going to lay my Bible down, and I'm just going to give you some updates on what you already know. Amen. Daniel and the three Hebrew children were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. They went into the Babylonian captivity. If you look at a map, you will find that Babylon is where Iraq is today. Not Iran, but Iraq. Remember, Saddam Hussein was rebuilding all of those things, and our government went in there and claimed that they had all of these nuclear weapons and all this stuff. Well, I talked to a guy who watched through the drones. He said it was never about them having nuclear weapons. He said Iran had got four, what I call a ream of paper, that $100 bills are made out of. He said Iran was able to get it through the black market. And he said they sold it to Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein hired the world's greatest engraver to engrave our $100 bill. And they were prepared to flood the market with American $100 bills. He said that was the nuclear war. He said America would have crumbled, and that would have been it. We didn't go in to take out nuclear weapons. We went in to confiscate the plates and to confiscate the paper. And he said we successfully did that. And he said this is why the $100 bill was reprinted and changed. You understand? The new $100 bill looks like funny money. Yeah, that's what happened. And they are in the process of changing another one. Same situation. Now, I told you that to help you to identify, you know, and all of our soldier boys coming back. You know why they're coming back and killing themselves? You know why all this shooting is going on in these places? It's because they have been sent to the seat of Satan. When Israel went to Babylonian, went into Babylonian captivity, in Iran, Iraq, Assyria, all up through there, they worshipped all kinds of gods. They was an idolatrous worship. Our soldiers are going there and under stress and duress, and these spirits are attaching themselves to them. This is why that there is so much suicide over there in those countries. It's because of demon possession and of oppression, and they're killing themselves and blowing up everybody because these demons are taking control of their mind and doing that. And our soldiers are coming back to America, and they don't know how to fight this. Our government doesn't know how to do it. Do you know that we lost more soldiers in Afghanistan to suicide than we lost in combat? And the same thing in Iraq. Same thing. They're not going to tell you all of that. You've got to know where to find it and who to talk to about it. And so they're dealing with this. Now what I'm saying is this. When the children of Israel went to Babylonian captivity, there was Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had made up his mind that he was going to do it his way. He was rejoicing. Oh, he was thrilled. And all of these things. And then as he set up this big statue of himself, and then he had everybody to bow. Everybody. Our soldiers are running all over this country where it took place. And he had everybody to bow but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we're not going to bow. And he found out that some of the Jews, and that's what the jury, had not bowed and worshipped him or worshipped this image. There's always these folks that are going to rat on you. Always looking for a reason to rat on you, see. And so they went to Nebuchadnezzar and told him. Now Nebuchadnezzar didn't know his end. He saw the end of these three Hebrew boys. He had them to heat the furnace. These boys bowed and worshipped. They prayed. They were assigned unto a difficult situation. You are coming to another level. Hear me. Trust me. Trust. You have come to another level and you are being assigned difficult situations. How you handle those difficult situations today will determine your tomorrow. The thing that brought you to where you are, Pastor, will not take you any further. It's over with. You know it's over with. You have fed from it. You have gleaned from it. You have harvested from it. But all of a sudden, it's empty. The barrel is empty. The oil is gone. It's going to take another miracle. It's going to take something special. We've got to have it. And this is why we are here this weekend, is to catapult you into another dimension. Hallelujah. That's why He saw your faith and your works, and He saw your fasting, and last night He authorized me as His representative to bring about the fivefold ministry. I've never, Asker, done this in my life. What was done last night? Excuse the expression, but not to saints. You understand? Because we have always determined that this was an operation of the ministry. And it's never been implied that saints, church members, can function in those gifts or be called into that anointing. And last night, she was struggling with me closing. That's why I like to come here. Yes, I am very sensitive, too sensitive to God's Spirit and the needs of His people. And I pick up on your sensitivity. Sometimes it can't be verified, but it's always accurate. Because we don't fake it. Never. Amen. I don't want to lay before Him faking something. My God, have mercy. I told you last night, how lonely is it to be God and not be able to trust somebody and just sit down and say, I'd like to talk to you. Amen. He talked to the three Hebrew children. They had elevated themselves into a position to where they could handle outrageous situations. Their faith was there. And when they come marching up to that fiery furnace, it consumed the people that threw them in there. They walked in there and said, hey, this is no big deal, man. I'm wrapped tight with the boss. Hallelujah. I'm talking about, I know Jehovah God. I have prayed to Him. I've consecrated myself. He and I talk every day. And there's no way we're going to be consumed. And if we are, they were walking around in there. It was a church picnic with them. because they had prayed into the supernatural. And you have to walk in the supernatural. You have to develop a relationship with the supernatural. And that's what's going on this weekend. And this is what God is doing now. That's what this offering is all about. It ain't about me. It's about you. Because you're going to step into a dimension of with God. Hallelujah. This is outrageous. This is crazy. But there's something about it. I'm developing a sensitivity. I'm developing a vision. I prayed for folks here last night that their vision would kick in. There's times when you're praying and there's opposition in your mind and you're struggling with things, and all of a sudden you lock in and see it. When he can't get through the mind, he can get through the eyes. And when he can't get through the eyes, he can get through the ears. He develops different sensitivities to his ability to speak to us. This is why in the Old Testament, they knew him as Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah this, Jehovah that. He was Jehovah in relationship to whatever they were going through. In their battle and struggle that they were going through, he became Jehovah that to deliver them. And he summed all of those titles up and put it in the name Jesus. Amen. And so whatever you're going through, you've got to build a sensitivity. This pastor in New Jersey going through hell. Probably the worst I've ever heard. They got my name through referral. And he said, call. He met me in Atlanta, Georgia years ago. I didn't even remember him or seeing him or nothing. But you know what? God took it out. Took it out. Amen. Took it out. Believe me. He took it out. You've got to build a sensitivity to God's eternal spirit. You know, in a bank, if you work in a bank, they show you the American $100 bill. They don't show you a counterfeit. They want you to sow truth that when anything that's not truth comes through, you know. I've never seen a fake $100 bill, but this has got to be one because it doesn't feel like truth. What God is doing is bringing you truth of His Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. You're knowing truth. And He's going to process you and develop you in truth. And so whenever anything else is a falsehood or a fake or whatever it is, and the moving of the devil, you see, a lot of times we rely on the, oh man, I feel goosebumps. And the devil's got goosebumps he puts on you, but it's cold. Doesn't bear witness. And what you're doing is learning. You're learning. I almost said, I mean, you're learning from the best. That's him. Hallelujah. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came back to the king. They said, King, they're not being consumed, man. They're alive. They're walking around in there. Well, you're going to have to heat this thing up. So what's going on here? And finally, you see, they would not worship his God because they were assigned in prayer to a difficult task. Before you ever get to that task, you conquered in prayer. You pray through. I told that pastor when I was talking to him, he said, man, I don't know what to do. I said, I'm going to tell you what you do. I said, you pray until you're so weak you can't pray anymore, and then you pray more. You pray until you can't worship anymore, and then you pray and worship. I said, you pray until you can't even think, and you're laying on the floor and say, I don't have any energy left. I can't think. I said, then you think some more. I said, you don't let up. What you do is you take a breath, a deep breath. And I said, when you breathe it in slow. And you soak it in slowly. And let it filter through the system. And as it goes through, you're saying, this is the Spirit. This is the blood. This is Christ Jesus. I'm inhaling the fragrance of His name. And I said, you blow all of that air out until there's nothing left. And I said, it's just like chocolate pudding in your mouth. You savor the flavor. And I said, when your lungs are filled, you stand there and look around. There ain't going to be no devil. You understand? There ain't going to be no devil. Pretty silicone. Your enemy knows that you just filled your vessel with a fresh anointing of the Spirit of the eternal God. And in that Spirit is the eternal blood of His Son. You couldn't find a devil. Tie him and throw him on you. He'd lose his mind. Lose his mind. Do you know who you are? You're the sons and daughters of Abraham. The blessings of Abraham are upon you. upon you. Through who? Jacob. Not Esau. Not Esau. Esau's kids are over there fighting among themselves right now. There's no blessing on them. No blessings on them. Amen. The Jehovah God told Moses, he said, leave the Edomites alone. He said, I've given them that mountain. One mountain. Like, they're going to live on the side of it, and the rain comes, you're going to be washed off. I've given them their mountain. You don't take that mountain. You go around and leave them with. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You want to go talk to them? Offer them to pay you for your passage through. Tell them you just want to drive. You want to go through on the road. You'll pay them and for their water and passage, whatever. And watch what they do. You ain't going to pass this way. I don't care how much money you're going to give us. You know, there's some folks, you can feed them beans and cornbread all day long, and they're still just as nasty and ugly as they were before you got there with the dinner. Because that's who they are. Shadrach, Meshach, when Nebuchadnezzar came and he opened that furnace, looked in there, he said, put the fire out, bring them out. He brought them out. You know what he said? Their God is now the God of the Chaldees. Their God is who we worship. We're going to bow to them. You see, they were assigned unto a difficult position. You have been assigned here last night to a difficult position. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to seek God. You're going to have to fast. You're going to have to do everything. You're going to have to stay focused. You're going to have to process and develop. Hallelujah. That what brought you to this point is not going to take you any further. There was a time when David, I love this sling. I love this pocket of rocks. And I got four left. And hey, David, that sling that gave you the victory is not going to work. You got to go up there and take sword out of Goliath's hand. You got to cut his head off. You got to take that sword and put it in the house of God, because that sword's what's going to take you all the way to the throne. When you stand and look up at the Jebusite city and you say, that's Jerusalem, that's my capital, I say, you're going to have to go back and get that sword. You're going to have to get that and enter into another dimension. I'm telling you, church, you listen to me. I'm not building you a story. I'm telling you the God's truth, that God is saying to you, every one of you, your mothers, your dads, and your kinfolks and your children, everybody, he's saying, I'm taking you to another dimension. I'm assigning to you a difficult task. What do you mean a difficult task? If we're going to break the demonic control of false religion and everything else that the devil has in this area, it's a difficult task. But what is he saying? You do your praying, you do your talking to me. It's what Jesus told his disciples. He said, when they deliver you up, I will be right there with you. How? It didn't happen for 30 years. It didn't happen until 70 AD. It happened periodically through there. He said, but when you're delivered up, I'm going to put in your mouth. I'm going to anoint your mouth. I'm going to give you what to say. You don't say anything else. The one thing that I have learned, and I always appreciated submitting to from the day I started preaching, is if I don't hear it and see it from him, I don't fool with it. I don't fool with it. That was a gift to me when I was young and ignorant and didn't even know what it meant. I just followed the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When I was 19 years old preaching in church, miracles was happening. Every time I went there, miracles would happen in this church. I didn't know to stop it and start praying for people. I just kept preaching. I just kept on. I wasn't preaching. I was rejoicing in God. I think about it sometimes and I get embarrassed. I saw T.W. Barnes one time at a camp meeting. You don't know who he is, but he's gone now. Powerful man of faith. Powerful man. I didn't know anything about any of this kind of stuff. And he came to the camp meeting, and my first time there, first day on the grounds. And I saw him walk, and I saw him walk, and I saw him walk into this tabernacle. And it was 2:00 in the afternoon. I said, my God, who is this? Everything in me began to scream. That's what I was looking for. I had not seen that. Never in anybody. Nobody. And I walked in there, and he started preaching and standing right over here on the side of the platform. I went up on the platform, and I'm standing as close to him as I'm talking about. He's right here. And I'm standing here listening to him preach, watching him pray for people. And I'm mesmerized. And sometimes I get to thinking about that. I thought, oh my God, I wonder what those people probably, 50 years later saying, Wonder what ever happened to that dumb head who was standing up on the platform beside Brother Barnes when he was praying for folks. And I saw fingers just that looked like sticks healed. I saw blinded eyes open. I saw the retina and the color of the eyes changes. I saw people walk. And I saw all of this stuff. And I'm staying. Finally, after about an hour, he turned to me. He said, "What do you want?" I didn't know what I wanted. I had no idea. Nebuchadnezzar found the same expression standing beside the three Hebrew children. And there are folks already have noticed you. And they're going to start communicating with you. They don't know what you have. They don't know what they want. But they know that there's something in you that's different from what they've got. It's going to happen. Those three Hebrew boys came out of there totally delivered. Daniel rejoiced with them. But you know what? Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. Lost his mind. You know why? Because he never embraced it. He never became a part of what they were. He had a son, Belshazzar. I'm getting to Daniel. Belshazzar, he had a feast, everything. He took the golden vessels that his dad had brought, got drunk on them, all of this stuff. And then all of a sudden on the wall, a hand began to write. But you see, there was a guy in the kingdom. His name was Daniel. God had assigned him unto a difficult task. Don't ever run from a difficult task. You face it head on in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You understand I'm talking to you as a church, as an individual. You face it. You face it. See, it's good to come together and pray. But leadership's not developed in a group. Leadership is developed on your face in God's presence. Where you're interceding with Him. Talking to Him. Interceding. And He's developing and processing you. Processing you. You know, it's good to sit in a class in school. 75 of us. We've got a teacher. But sometimes you're not doing too good in math. You have to hire you a tutor. That's what Jesus is. What you don't get here and understand, you go into prayer. And He is your tutor. He begins to tutor you and help you. This is what He's saying to the disciples. You're all in, you're all here together. And I'm talking to you. But the day will come that you'll be different. You'll be separate. You'll be standing before a magistrate. I'm giving you power over kings. Hear me. I'm giving you power over kings and judges and those in authority. And they're going to haul you up. And they're going to demand an answer. And He said, "I'm going to be standing right beside you. And I'm going to put in your mouth. I'm going to tutor you as you stand before that king." Are you getting this? My God, I've never preached this in my life. I'm going to tutor you. Oh, Daniel said, "I'll read it for you, King. Meaning, many tickle you farsets. This day the kingdom is divided from you and given to another." That night, Belshazzar was killed. Darius stepped in and took over the throne. Darius took over. Listen to me. You're going to be called to testify. And what is put into your mouth is going to be what sets a nation free. Daniel, you watched what the three Hebrew children did. Daniel, it's not over. Belshazzar's taken out. Darius is taken in. But you see, you've got some contemporaries that want to destroy you. So you know what they did? You see, your enemy doesn't understand that you have been assigned in prayer to take out a difficult situation. You go through all kinds of stuff. We went through it. I know why we went through it. I told my wife all along, the hour is not yet, but it will come. It's here. That hour is here. You hear me? How else could Daniel face the lion's den? They lied. They said, "Darius, you're going to have to take this guy out." You know why they wanted him out? Because when Dyer's took over, listen to me, a new government, you understand, a new government. That government assigned 120 princes over the nation. And he assigned three presidents to rule over them. Daniel was one of them. Oh, look at Daniel. Forgot all about us. We're out here tilling, toiling, carrying on, going through all of this. Daniel's now one of the top three. I'm going to sit down. Daniel's one of the top three. But you see, they were not assigned to that difficult task. When you see your brothers and your sisters, your pastor, when you see them going through difficult situations, know that they have been assigned to it and that they will conquer it. But position yourself correctly. Position yourself correctly. You see, the others didn't do that. They railed on him. They said, we're going to have to get something against him according to his worship, his God. And so they did. And then they put Daniel in the lion's den. They put an accusation against him. And O'Dyer said, okay, we're going to put him in the lion's den. He went to the lion's den. He was assigned by God to conquer the lion's appetite. The three Hebrew children were assigned to take the flames and the heat out of the fire and live in it. What are you assigned to, church? You understand? You don't sacrifice your children to this world and the spirit of this world. You don't sacrifice your family to the God of this world. You tie into it with everything you've got. I mean, not fighting with your husband, not fighting with your children. You get in that prayer closet. You win all of your battles in that prayer closet. And when you step out, the rest of the family is going to look like Pillsbury Doughboy. They're just going to be standing around, you know, soft and pliable. Just soft and pliable. The sicknesses and the diseases that, this generation runs it. Oh, no. It stopped when you were baptized into his body. Generational curses, curse them, stand against them, take authority over them. You don't have to have sickle cell anemia or anything else. My God, no. In Jesus' blood, you can have victory over it. Daniel was in there. The old king came and said, oh, Daniel, live forever. He said, I'm right here, king. This is the best furry coat, man. I look like 42nd and Vine in New York City, buddy. I'm dressed. I'm well dressed. What happened? The king called him out. Called him out. I wish I had more time. Who in the world was Noah? Out of all of them, God found Noah and assigned him to a difficult task because he began to communicate. Oh, it's wonderful. Man, you know, I was praying the other day and I just felt God talking to me. Watch out. Watch out. He came to Noah. Noah, how you doing, man? Oh, God, you know, it's good to talk with you, but the whole world's corrupting in sin, and it's vexing my righteousness. And he's got to have somebody that's a visionary. You might can only see 3 feet in front of you, but you're a visionary. You might can see to that wall and no further, but you're a visionary. He said, Noah, he said, what are you thinking? He said, man, all I can see is unrighteous. That's all I can see. And it's horrifying. It's horrifying. What would you like to do about it? Man, God, I don't know what to do about it. He said, let's build an ark. He said, a what? I want you to gather up all the animals. The animals. I don't even like them. I don't even want to be around them. How am I going to do that? I can't even whistle when my kids come to me. I have no authority. God assigned him. I got to leave that alone because I got to close. And then there was, what was this guy's name? Moses. You know, a lot of us probably have a birthing like his. We switched from the bulrush basket to the farmhouse to the presidential palace, and then we found out, well, this ain't our mama. My mama's over here, and I'm nursing her, and then I'm back over here, and then all of a sudden I've got the pleasures of this, and I've got the heartaches of that, and I'm being passed back and forth. I don't know about you, but I got passed back and forth for about 4 or 5 years. Yeah. Yeah. Moses, won't we talk? Talk about what? Where? Bush lit. Burning. Standing there, mesmerized in the service last night at what God was doing, we got assigned unto a difficult task. We got to stick together now. We got to stick together. But let me tell you, I can take his face off and show you 1,000 scars. I can show you 1,000 difficult tasks. But for the victory taste, for that glory of God, what was that old prophet said? Pouring out from under the door. That glory of God, that river of God, standing in his presence. Daniel said, if the lions would have eaten me, I wouldn't have mattered, because I was standing, assigned unto a difficult task, and he was right there with me. He's going to go with you. Going to go with you. I've got to close. I don't want to, because he's still here, isn't he? Let's make ourselves available for whatever he wants to do. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can lift your hands and receive it. Don't think about it, just receive it. Go to speaking in that heavenly language. Trusting God. Trusting God. Trusting. You say, I've never seen a miracle. Here's your opportunity. Be assigned unto the developing of a miracle in your life, in someone else's life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elebokai. Release your faith. He's here to put in your mouth what you're supposed to say right now. Right now. Accept the assignment. Receive the assignment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Commit yourself to him right now. Commit yourself to his word. Commit yourself to him right now. Hallelujah. The eternal word. The eternal word. Spoken word. The spoken word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the thing that made Jesus so powerful as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, the thing that made him so powerful, was that the eternal Spirit quoted the written word through him. You understand? The eternal Spirit of the Father quoted the written word through him. And as he quoted that word, it happened. When he came into the synagogue, they said, he's got to be one of the prophets of old. He was quoting from the prophets. Quoting from the prophets. If him quoting from the prophets developed into such a powerful experience, what happens when we quote from him? When we quote from that New Testament? Let's stand. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. You need prayer? We ask you to come. Ask you to come. Sister Turner, like to go to the organ? I hate to close because I know that this weekend's over with. And we love you folks. Don't ever doubt that. We did our preparation work. My wife said, why are you doing so much fasting and praying? I said, Sister Davis got that church on 50 days. I got to do 51. I got to catch up with them. I got to stay ahead of them, because when I come, they're going to look to me for an answer for their future. And if I don't have it, I've stolen their time. And we can't do that. In Jesus' name, Father, right now, if you have a need, you want to come down here, we'll anoint you and pray for you. We'll believe God with you. We're going to believe God with you. You're concerned about your children? You give them to God. You give them to God. They may not always do everything the way you want it done, but they won't ever leave. They'll hold on to this heritage. And every time that devil comes to put something in their mind, in their heart, they're going to say, it doesn't balance what mom and dad, what Pastor Davis told me. I'm going to hold on to it. Hold on to it. Kim, my daughter that's been going through hell for 13 years or so, I don't know how long, she called me last night. She said, Dad, I've got boxes of things I don't know what to do with. I said, what are you talking about? Her first husband, Jerry. She said, I've got notes, I've got prayers, I've got things. And she said, I was so determined to marry him. She said, and it didn't work out. She said, I've got boxes of stuff that pertain to him and our marriage and all of this. She said, what do I do with it? I'm going to shred it. I'm going to burn it. I said, lump come up my throat. And I said, baby, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I said, I think I'd hold on some of it. She said, well, my daughter died at 13 years old. I have no one to leave it to. I have no one to leave it to. So what do I do with it? I said, for the first time in my life, I'm not able to tell you what to do with it. I said, you're going to have to work it out. I said, but you've got another 40 years of life. I said, someday you may want to plunder back through it. She said, no, I'm through with it. And I said, well, you've always had that determined spirit, and this could be one of those times where you're just trashing everything. Maybe you don't need to. I said, I don't know. But you know, we concluded that conversation with this. I have nobody to leave any of this stuff to. So why should I want to hang on to it? I have no one to share it with. I said, give me some time to think about it. Pray about it. Listen to me. You may be in that same place. I had prayer with her. She broke out speaking in tongues and worshiping God and glorifying God. She came to a balance in the spirit. If you want to come down here today, I don't care what you're going through. I promise you, we'll find a balance in your spirit. We'll find a balance in your spirit. Hallelujah. I can't keep lingering, but if you want to come, if you want to come, we'll pray with you. Be happy to pray with you. Hallelujah. Because the God that is here put into my mouth what to say. Come on down here, buddy. Hallelujah.